Blog Talk Radio.
Better day, just you and me.
Come tonight to talk about Dr. Martin Luther King and talk about the change that's going on with us, and the change that's going to take place in our world. We have to make changes in order to make things work for us. Tonight, we're talking about the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. movement. The movement that Dr. King started was by Rosa Parks. And not only Rosa Parks, other blacks throughout the country. And some died, some had to die. So we come a long ways. In coming a long ways, we've seen a lot of things happen to our people. A lot of things happen to your mother, your grandmother. Tonight is the Dr. King movement. And I want to talk about the movement where you might not know that the movement started a little before Dr. King. And we're talking about sleeping car porters, the march, talking about Reverend A.I. Dunlap that march, Reverend M.L. Sardin that march, and then even Dr. King began the movement. So when I said movement, it wasn't one person, it was a gang of persons involved in the movement. And most of them wanted to be involved in the movement because they understood what the movement do and what happened to the movement. So when they got started in the movement, things worked out. See? So I'm sorry to understand that when I go live, I'm talking about the movement that open up doors for white folks, black folks, brown folks. So the movement wasn't just for white folks or black folks. It was that we opened up the doors for everything. So tonight, we've been going into Black History Month all this month, and we just about through with Black History Month. Then you got to know the cause of Black history, the suffering of blacks that was hung, that was lynched. Some of you can't even conceive the blacks were severed, cut, women's bellies was cut and baby snatched out of them. That's the kind of evil that came, that when we come from Africa, this happened to work from sun up to sundown. Some of you don't understand that, and you feel, oh, that's fantasy. But the violence that happened to the black man, ain't talking about the brown man, but the black man, it racism and white supremacy was the thing to keep the black man down and back. And you know, and right now, ain't nobody talking about, none of the leadership talking about, we need reparations from our ancestors. Reason we are so behind, we have not got the pay for what our ancestors did, and we ain't got the money for what they did, so we still caught up waiting on payday. We caught up waiting on them to give us what they owe us, our ancestors. If you had the money tonight, the government was to pay black folks for the money that was stolen and all the work picking cotton, sugar cane, you would be rich too. You would be rich. But I can be rich when ain't nobody did nothing to help you get rich, okay? You didn't do nothing to help you get at the level or where you at, okay? So if they didn't help you get at the level where you at, tell me what can you do? See? And my thing is when you get at the level where you at, you can break down some things and open up some doors. And most doors are closed. And lots of people, they say, well, I don't want to hear about that. You got to hear the truth. The Dr. King movement, and I'm talking the movement of the people that was all over, even over in Africa, was a movement. So we had a lot going on. And we had to learn how to take care of ourselves. We didn't have nobody to teach us how to take care of pain, suffering. We took care of ourselves. And out of that come what we talk about now, how we had to deal with what's happening to the black man today. And what happening that as we speak today, we are going through a time war. What's happening? We're going through a situation where black steel is the last high and the first tide. The income for housing, blacks can't get it right now, veterans. And our government is not opening up the door for medicine. We got people that are sick. And we have the resources to pay them. We have the resources in our country to pay for whatever we need. We got the resources. But if we do not help each other. So tonight, this is Monday night, the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. movement. And the reason we took Dr. King as the movement, Dr. King was a moral conscience of America. He talked about the war in Vietnam, the war in Afghanistan, the war in Russia, the war over in Africa. Those where people are killing people by the thousand, and ain't nobody, and a lot of the government is involved for silver, for gold, stealing the resources from Africa, bringing them to England and London and America, and the people is starving and don't have no food and nothing to eat. So we come a long way. And we have a long way to go. Tonight, I just want to talk about that a little bit. Maybe you might understand where you at in the life that you're trying to do right now. Maybe you understand what you need to do in order to go to the next level in your life. Maybe you might know how to change things to work for you, and doors are open up for you. Because it seems like that lots of black folks don't realize that everybody that's coming over from other countries, black folks was handcuffed by a gun and brought over. Other folks come over because they want to come over. That's what we are going through right now. We're going through slavery. We're going through understand where we at and where we supposed to be and what we need to do. You know, the job, you know, some of you say, well, I just want a job. Just want a job is not enough. You got to be able to create some jobs. You got to be able to create a business where people can come and see what you're doing and how to relate to you, okay? But if ain't nobody saying nothing about what you need, how you gonna get it? You got to have somebody to know how to relate to you so they might be able to get what they need. So right now, we need to be able to go to the next level. And you said, this is what is the next level? To understand where we come from, to understand how we got there, and what we're supposed to be doing to make things work for us. And it's important for us to understand that we need to go to the next level. And when we go to the next level, we can understand what we need to do to make things work for us, okay? That's important, that we need to go to the next level to get things to work in our behalf and get things to go where we need to get them to go. And we can't get them to go till we make up our mind that we want them to go to the next level, that we want to open up doors. And if you live in Arkansas, Mississippi, wherever you're living at, you got to understand that God is still opening up doors for me and you. And when you think about the movement, you think about a better life for your kids, growth, and with all that's going on, it's still a better life for you and your kids and your family. And that's what you got to look up to. How can I get what I need? A debt-free home, a good job, or create your own business. And when you create your business, you work it like you want to work it. That is very important. So when Dr. King came on the scene, we didn't have welfare. We didn't have Social Security. We didn't have none of that. But when Dr. King came on the scene, he changed the whole scenario where blacks can get that, the way he did. He changed everything. So by him changing things, it made things work for people. Okay? So a lot of this stuff we got, it was because people that did, that worked to make it work. And they did stuff in our community to make it work. See, when you go live and open up doors for you, you got some things that are work for you, and you got to make it work in your behalf. But it ain't gonna work for you if you don't know what you got to do. You have to know what you want to do in life. Now, when I talk about Black history, Paul Lawrence Dunbar Robinson, talk about your grandmother, your great-grandmother, and you might not know, they had to work in the kitchen. They had to work with no pay and little food. And some of them was raped. Some of them was killed. And we still overcome all the stuff that happened to us. We still overcome that. You know what I'm saying? So by us overcoming that, we came to another level. We came to another level to overcome the evil that was done to us, and we overcome it. And this is what Dr. King brought to the table.
We must also realize that the problems of racial injustice and economic injustice cannot be solved without a radical redistribution of political and economic power.
We read one day, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But if a man doesn't have a job or an income, he has neither life nor liberty.
Dr. King, in 2024, in 2025, 2026, and 2027, is talking about the issues that are taking place right now in Israel, where they can kill 30,000 people and nobody said nothing. Americans trying to get some money to send over there to finish bombing. Nobody said nothing about over in Russia, where they bombing and killing on both sides. See, over in Egypt, they're trying to make a peace. But how can you make a peace when everybody, when Israel got all the guns and all the bombs, and they're being funded by America? So America is in the wall in Israel. America's in the wall in Russia. America's in the wall over in Afghanistan. You know, you throw a rock and hide your hand. So we'll find out. People coming in by the thousands. Lady down in Georgia was killed because this guy come in illegal, and the government didn't do nothing to send him back. So we got lots of criminals that's going on right now throughout our country, Chicago, Mississippi, Alabama. All of these people coming, some of them got diseases, got mumps, some of them got herpes, and some of them got gonorrhea, and some of them got syphilis, because some of them is still out horned, because there was a horn over in their country, they done brought it to America. One thing Donald Trump said, don't let these people come in. These people are criminals. And I don't care what you say about Donald Trump, he was right. Donald Trump tried to build a wall. They wouldn't let him build a wall. What I'm saying to you, as we look at what's happening now, the Democrats and the Republicans let these people in by the thousands. They don't know where they at or what they're doing. So we're caught up in a situation where people come over and get $9,000 checks, get somewhere to sleep, and people that work, your ancestors that work for slaves, they can't even get reparations. And what they owe that to us. And they won't even take care of the veterans. Those that fought in Vietnam and Korea, them that fought in the Pacific, the veterans is not being took care of. The taxpayer, the money that they're giving these people is taxpayer's money. It's not money. And they're getting new shoes. They're getting cell phones. And they're getting all of that. And the government won't give you a dime. They're going, the boy went to the hospital. He couldn't get in because it was filled up with mask. Man, he said, I paid to get in here, but you can't get in. So we're in a situation tonight where it's something bad happening. You know, one lady carried her son to school, and he got caught up with another kid. They had the mumps and the measles. And some of these people ain't got no shot. Some of these women is black prostitutes coming over here, selling their body, got syphilis. They got all kinds of diseases, and the government ain't doing nothing. Biden ain't saying nothing. The Republicans ain't saying nothing. So we're in a situation where if we don't come together, and Trump said this, I said it. Trump said if you let the people in, they're going to destroy America. Don't you see California, Chicago being destroyed? You see people killing people shooting people are robbing and jacking and breaking people's houses, and ain't nobody said nothing. And look, they had five of them whipped the policemen in New York. They ain't saying nothing. And this will happen this month. Young lady was going to medical school down in Georgia. One of the guys took her and beat her up and killed her. They didn't even supposed to be in the country. So this is what we are dealing with. We got to get somebody able to say enough is enough. Because right now, the president ain't saying nothing about all this killing. He ain't saying nothing about these people getting a check, getting a $900 check every month. And they ain't work for nothing. They're getting somewhere to stay, somewhere to eat. And you supposed to feel sorry for them. They can go back home. They can go back home. Because they left because they're trying to hustle America and take what we have worked for, our ancestors worked for. Now I see it then, and I won't take it back. This is what's going on now. Right now. It's happening. That's what's happening.
We must also realize that the problems of racial injustice and economic injustice cannot be solved without a radical redistribution of political and economic power.
We read one day, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But if a man doesn't have a job or an income, he has neither life nor liberty and the possibility for the pursuit of happiness. He merely exists. Estimated that we spend $322,000 for each enemy we kill in Vietnam, while we spend in the so-called war on poverty in America only about $53 for each person classified as poor. The promises of the Great Society have been shot down on the battlefield of Vietnam, making the poor, white and Negro, bear the heaviest burdens both at the front and at home.
The other thing I want you to understand is this, that it didn't cost the nation one penny to integrate lunch counts. It didn't cost the nation one penny to guarantee the right to vote. But now we are dealing with issues that cannot be solved without the nation spending billions of dollars and undergoing a radical redistribution of economic power. Yes, yes.
All labor has dignity.
Yes.
But you are doing another thing. You are reminding not only Memphis, but you are reminding the nation that it is a crime for people to live in this rich nation and receive starvation wages. America's opportunity to help bridge the gulf between the haves and the have-nots. And the question is whether America will do it. There's nothing new about poverty. What is
Dr. King said America is rich off of the backs of the slaves that picked cotton in Mississippi, cut sugar cane down in Louisiana, picked grapes and down in the tobacco in Virginia. For all that work, blacks didn't get paid. And you got to understand why you living in poverty. Because the man did not pay your ancestors. They gave the Jews $1 million, each Jew. They gave $1 million to American did that. And they didn't get burnt him. They wasn't in no chambers. Him, they was over in Germany. But they gave them money. Every race. Y'all better listen to what I'm saying tonight. If you talk about the Chinese, you talk about everybody got some money but the black man. And the black man carried this country on his back. What I'm talking about. We made cotton king. We made tobacco king. Sugar cane. So the major corporations got rich. But they didn't come back. They didn't bring nothing back. So because they didn't bring nothing back, blacks lived in poverty in ghettos. Rope houses full of roaches. No welfare. No housing. So Dr. King came a long way in this movement. He woke this country up to ought to do something for black folks. That's what he did. Now, you might say, well, what else did he do? He talked about how everybody getting something but the black man. And right now, I see the same pattern. I see people getting rich. I see the rich getting richer and the poor getting poor. And you might be in the category of being poor. But I want you to understand why you poor. You poor because this government have not paid us what they owe us. If they just give you $1 million, if they just pay every slave that somebody has slaves, you could be rich. How do you think these other people, they gave them land and they gave them money? When whites came over here, whites got money. They got money. They got land. So that's why they're ahead of you. And they're going to always get it because you got to stop the killing. Stop killing each other and begin to get smarter. Wait a minute. I'm starting my own business. And I'm, you know, you got to understand, here's a man been in business for 25 years, 100 years. You just started with your business. But if you stick to it, God will bless you. I was reading where it said the anointing of the Holy Spirit will keep you and you'll be able to move. I lack of what Marvin Gaye said, what's going on? And I want to tell you that you don't even know what's going on. And, you know, and sometimes you got to listen to somebody telling you what's happening.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love and kiss here today. Oh, picket sign. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
I'm the son of a preacher. I'm the great-grandson of a preacher. And the great-great-grandson of a preacher. My father is a preacher. My grandfather was a preacher. My great-grandfather was a preacher. My only brother is a preacher. My daddy's brother is a preacher. So I didn't have much choice, I guess. But I had grown up in the church, and the church meant something very real to me. But it was a kind of inherited religion, and I had never felt an experience with God the way that you must have it if you're going to walk the lonely paths of this life. One day after finishing school, I was called to a little church down in Montgomery, Alabama. A year later, a lady by the name of Rosa Parks decided that she wasn't going to take it any longer. She stayed on a bus seat. You may not remember it because it's way back now, several years, but it was the beginning of a movement where 50,000 black men and women refused absolutely to ride the city buses, and we walked together for 381 days.
Yes, sir.
That's what we got to learn in the North. The Negroes had to learn to stick together. Sent out the call. No Negro rode the buses. It was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen in my life. The people of Montgomery asked me to serve as a spokesman. And as the president of the new organization, the Montgomery Improvement Association, that came into being to lead the boycott, I couldn't say no. Then we started our struggle together. Things were going well for the first few days, but then about 10 or 15 days later, after the white people in Montgomery knew that we meant business, they started doing some nasty things. They started making nasty telephone calls and came to the point that some days more than 40 telephone calls that come in threatening my life, the life of my family, the life of my children. I took it for a while in a strong manner. I never will forget one night very late. It was around midnight. You can have some strange experiences at midnight. Telephone started ringing and I picked it up. On the other end was an ugly voice. That voice said to me in substance,
nigga.
We are tired of you and your mess now. And if you aren't out of this town in 3 days, you're gonna blow your brains out and blow up your house. I heard these things before, but for some reason that night it got to me. I turned over and I tried to go to sleep, but I couldn't sleep. Frustrated, bewildered. Then I got up and went back to the kitchen and I started warming some coffee, thinking the coffee would give me a little relief. Then I started thinking about many things. I pulled back on the theology and philosophy that I had just studied in the university, trying to give philosophical and theological reasons for the existence and the reality of sin and evil. But the answer didn't quite come there. I sat there and thought about a beautiful little daughter who had just been born about a month earlier. We have 4 children now, but we only had 1 then. She was the darling of my life. I'd come in night after night and see that little gentle smile. I sat at that table thinking about that little girl and thinking about the fact that she could be taken away from any minute. I started thinking about a dedicated, devoted, and loyal wife who was over there asleep. She could be taken from me. I could be taken from her. I got to the point that I couldn't take it any longer. I was weak. Something said to me, you can't call on Daddy now. He's up in Atlanta, 175 miles away. You can't even call on Mama now. You gotta call on that something in that person that your daddy used to tell you about. That power that can make a way out of no way. I discovered then that religion had to become real to me and I had to know God for myself. I bowed down over that cup of coffee. I never will forget it. Oh, yes, I prayed a prayer. And I prayed out loud that night. I said, Lord, I'm down here trying to do what's right. I think I'm right. I think the cause that we represent is right. But, Lord, I must confess that I'm weak now, I'm faltering, I'm losing my courage. I can't let the people see me like this because if they see me weak and losing my courage, they will begin to get weak. Seems at that moment that I could hear an inner voice saying to me, Martin Luther, stand up for righteousness. Stand up for justice. Stand up for truth. And Lord, I will be with you, even up to the end of the world. I tell you, I've seen the lightning flash. I've heard the thunder roll. I felt sin breakers passing, trying to conquer my soul. But I heard the voice of Jesus stand still to fight on. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone. No, never alone. Promised never to leave me. Never to leave me alone. I'm going on in, believing in him. You better know him and know his name. Know how to call his name. Don't be a fool. Recognize your dependence on God. Centuries ago, Jeremiah raised the question, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there?
itself out. That is an answer to that myth. It is a
truth. It can be used either constructively or destructively. I'm sorry to say this morning that I'm absolutely convinced that the forces of ill will in our nation, the extreme righteous of our nation, the people on the wrong side, have used time much more effectively than the forces of goodwill. And it may well be that we will have to repent in this generation, not merely for the vitriolic words and the violent actions of the bad people, but for the appalling silence and indifference of the good people who sit around and say, wait on time. Somewhere we must come to see that human progress never rolls in on the wheels of inevitability. It comes through the tireless efforts and the persistent work of dedicated individuals who are willing to be co-workers with God. Without this hard work, time itself becomes an ally of the primitive forces of social stagnation. So we must have time and realize that the time is always right to do right. Now that is another myth that still gets around. It is a kind of over-reliance on the bootstrap philosophy. And there are those who still feel that if the Negro has to rise out of poverty, if the Negro is to rise out of slum conditions, if he is to rise out of discrimination and segregation, he must do it all by himself. And so they say the Negro must lift himself by his own bootstraps. They never stop to realize that no other ethnic group has been a slave on American soil. The people who say this never stop to realize that the nation made the black man's color a stigma. But beyond this, they never stop to realize the debt that they owe people who were kept in slavery for 244 years. In 1863, the Negro was told that he was free as a result of the Emancipation Proclamation being signed by Abraham Lincoln. And he was not given any land to make that freedom meaningful. It was something like keeping a person in prison for a number of years and suddenly discovering that that person is not guilty of the crime for which he was convicted. Just go up to him and say, now you're free. But you don't give him any bus fare to get to town. You don't give him any money to get some clothes to put on his back or to get on his feet again in life. Every code of jurisprudence would rise up against this. Yet this is the very thing that our nation did to the black man. It simply said, you're free. And it left him there penniless, illiterate, not knowing what to do. And the irony of it all is that at the same time, the nation failed to do anything for the black man. Through an act of Congress, it was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white cousins from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did it give the land, it built land-grant colleges to teach them how to farm. Not only that, it provided county agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, the years unfolded, it provided low interest rates so that they could mechanize their farms. And to this day, thousands of these very persons are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies every year not to farm. And these are so often the very people who tell Negroes that they must lift themselves by their own bootstraps. all right to tell a man to lift himself by his own bootstraps, but it is a cruel jest to say to a bootless man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. We must come to see that the roots of racism are very deep in our country. And there must be something positive and massive in order to get rid of all of the effects of racism and the tragedies of racial injustice. And that is another thing closely related to racism that I would like to mention as another challenge. We are challenged to rid our nation and the world of poverty. Like a monstrous octopus, poverty spreads its nagging, prehensile tentacles and all over our world. 2/3 of the people of the world go to bed hungry tonight.
Open eyes that we may Ah.